where we find out that this whole time Professor X was passing, that he didn't actually lose his hair. He just kept his head shaved so nobody would see the curls.
That's hilarious. Oh, my God. So basically, Professor X is Wentworth Miller.
Right, exactly.
Everyone, I'm Kara Mahorn, and this is the Blurred Girl Podcast. Now, I know some of you are mad at me, but your girl has been working hard to pay for this very podcast, among other things. But I have been away, and I mean away. If you've been following me on Instagram, you know what I mean. While I was away, actually, I got a chance to interview all kinds of amazing people. N.K. Jemisin, Chris Hemsworth, Taron Egerton, Jon Snow himself, Kit Harington. Plus, I was in Atlanta for a launch of Watchmen on HBO. If you haven't been watching that, you need to. I did a bunch of other things, too, but that's not why you're here, is it? You're here for my interview with the legendary actor, comedian, writer, producer, and voice actor, Phil LaMarr. Now, most of you grew up on his voice. I've said repeatedly that he is the only Green Lantern I recognize. But I'm going to have to change that story now that N.K. Jemisin has a Green Lantern comic out. He's also been Black Vulcan on Harvey Birdman, which was hilarious. The quiet yet stoic voice of Samurai Jack and so many more characters. Just check his IMDb. Currently, he's the voice of Malefic Jones on Supergirl. That's Martian Manhunter's very angry brother. He's going to be appearing, actually, it's a podcast, so I should say joining the cast of Voyage to the Stars, a scripted podcast featuring a few stars you know, like Felicia Day, Janet Varney, Steve Berg. And I can't wait to share that interview with you. But first, let's pay some bills. If you've been following me for any length of time, then you know I stay busy and it's really hard for me to get in all the reading that I want to do. So that's why I'm a huge fan of audiobooks from Audible. And if you use my special code, audibletrial.com/theblurredgirl, you can get a free subscription. Now I listen to them when I'm cleaning the house, traveling. They're especially great for passing the time on those long lines at the airport. Now currently I'm listening to Akata Witch for three reasons. One, I'm a fan of Nnedi Okorafor. Okorafor's writing. She writes incredible science fiction featuring African women. Two, it's been dubbed the Nigerian Harry Potter. And three, because Yetide Badaki, who was just on the show recently, is narrating it. Now, what I love about audiobooks like this is that, kind of like scripted podcasts, they are like listening to old-time radio programs, and I love that. But don't take my word for it. Start your own commitment-free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/theblurredgirl. You can choose from one audiobook and two Audible originals you can't hear anywhere else. Also, any credits that you don't use totally roll over to the next month. So start your 30-day free trial today by going to audibletrial.com/theblurredgirl. Now, back to the show. Okay, so instead of the news, like I said in the intro, I've been really busy. So I'm just going to tell you like some of the stuff I've been doing and where you can check it out because it's kind of all over the place. So first, back in October, I was on Sci-Fi Wire's live stage again at New York Comic Con. I got to interview some amazing folks. I mentioned fantasy writer and triple Hugo Award winner, N.K. Jemisin. That interview is up on Sci-Fi Wire's website and YouTube channel. You can see it there. I also got to briefly talk to the cast of Runaways about their upcoming season. I wish that was longer, but we had a finite time with them on the stage. I also spoke with Brian K. Vaughan and Pia Guerra, comic book creators, about Why the Last Man, which was a really amazing graphic novel. It was out in the early aughts, and you should just check it out. It's now being adapted for TV, but it was brilliant then. The concept is that basically this event happens, wiping out all males on the planet except for one. I also got a chance to talk to the cast of Seis Manos. Remember that animated series on Netflix I was yelling about in October? Well, I spoke to the creator slash animator, Alvaro Rodriguez, and the cast of that really incredible show. Not for kids. If you think it's animated and you want to show kids, it's very, very violent. It's along the lines of Castlevania. So like, just keep that in mind when you're watching the show. Bit of trivia for you. Alvaro is director Robert Rodriguez's cousin, who I also have interviewed. That's up on my YouTube channel. I interviewed him for Alita Battle Angel last year. Actually, no, that was this year. It's been a very long year. It was in January. So I guess my goal is to talk to the entire family, basically. Then I went to, the week after that, I went to Ace Comic Con. Shout out to Angelique Roche, my Radical Geeks co-host, for helping make that happen. And a huge thank you to Stephen Seamus for inviting me. That weekend in Chicago at Ace Comic Con Midwest, I got to talk to Kit Harington. Like I said, Jon Snow from Game of Thrones. And he's incredibly, incredibly sweet. It was both of our first Ace Comic Cons. And so we were both kind of nervous. But he's very, very sweet. And he's a huge Potterhead. I did not know this. Well, I didn't know before his diehard fans told me. By the way, Kit Harington's fans are very nice. Shout out to y'all for like sending me questions and things like that. He's a lovely human being, but he really is a huge fan. Like even when we came off stage, he was still talking about Harry Potter and like deep in the books, not even the movies so much. I also got a chance to talk to Thor, Chris Hemsworth. So I do have that up on my site already, but if you missed that, I did get a chance to talk to him at the con and he's really a blast. He's literally just having a ball being himself. I asked him about casting his brothers in the MCU. What would he cast them as? And what his defining role was. And he had a very interesting answer. So I'll put links to all this stuff in the show notes, but I definitely wanted to let you know that that happened. And then finally at Ace, I spoke to Taron Egerton, who of course starred in The Kingsman, which is also a comic book adaptation, and will probably win an Oscar for his role as Elton John on Rocketman, which you must see if you haven't yet. It's a musical, not a biopic really. Anyway, we joked about how in every single one of his movies, he has an underwater scene and then basically something hilarious happened, but I don't want to give it away. I want you to watch it. So again, I will link those videos in the show notes on the blog, but you must watch. If you watch none of the interviews, at least watch that one. It's hilarious. And he is absolutely lovely. Now then, HBO invited me down to Atlanta to be on a panel discussing Watchmen and premiering the episode for a small audience. Now I had seen the premiere before that at that point, but there was nothing like watching that episode in a room full of black people. And if you've seen it, you understand why I'm saying that. Like that first episode was visceral. Also, my inner fangirl was kind of losing it because I got to be on a panel with Kid Fury of The Read. He was the host of the panel. Also on the panel was Tatiana King-Jones from For All Nerds and William Evans, who's the editor-in-chief of Black Nerd Problems. They were there with me. Now, after that, I had a birthday, which I really didn't celebrate because I had to get back on a plane to Spokane, Washington, because I got a chance to talk to journalists out at Whitworth University about geek journalism. And it was great. I spent a couple days there. A shout out to Erica Selkin and her husband, who were lovely, lovely hosts. And they also helped make this whole thing happen. They have something called J-Day out there where they talk to journalists from all different disciplines. I was a celebrity journalist, which I still find hilarious. But it was amazing. And if you ever get a chance to go to Spokane, it's really a lot of fun because it's a city, but it feels like a small town. Actually, everybody from Emerald City Comic Con, which is in Seattle, seems to live there. It's very interesting. So shout out to them. And they also have, Whitworth also has an amazing journalism school. So check that out. Now, the following weekend, I was back in New York. I feel like I'm going through my whole schedule. And then I did this, and then I did that. The following weekend, I was back in New York, and I got to work with the ladies of Juju, the web series. Now, if you haven't watched it yet, you need to fix that immediately. It's a modern-day story about three witches who don't know they're witches yet, and it's set in Brooklyn. So it follows Ali, Gigi, and Yaya, plus the elder witch, Ada, who's trying to teach them their powers. It was great. I mean, it's really a great little indie project, and it was directed and written by Moon Ferguson. And I helped out by recording a series of behind the scenes interviews with them, which you can watch between episodes on YouTube. And I will link that in the show notes as well. But you really should watch that. Support independent black women doing film. Then the very next week, I flew to Atlanta again, this time to visit the set of Black Lightning. Now, it's a massive set on a lot down there, and I got to interview tons of cast members. Again, if you follow my Instagram, you saw me talking to Cress Williams, Nafisa Williams, China Ann McClain. That's Black Lightning, Thunder, and Lightning, respectively. Crondon, and painkiller. I got to talk to everybody. It was really fun. But the best part was a bunch of us got to have dinner with the one and only Bill Duke. Now, I'll be posting all of that very soon, but I just wanted to give a shout out to the CW. Thanks for hooking your girl up, because that was an incredible, incredible thing. And I know we've all been talking about Watchmen a lot, but you guys really should be watching Black Lightning this season too, because they are really dealing with and covering a lot of very, very interesting, deep topics. So also check that show out. Now, speaking of my Instagram, if you've been watching it, you know that I flew to Australia last week for 2 days, which I don't recommend, because it takes 27 hours to get there. And then I was there for like 30 hours before I had to turn around and come back. So all I can say was that I was on a set visit and I was in Adelaide, Australia. So shout out to Sci-Fi for making that happen. I'll let y'all do the math and figure out where I was. So all of that is why I haven't posted a podcast in a while, okay? So am I forgiven? So after this next break, we're going to come back and I'm going to talk to Uncle Phil and fill you in on what he's been doing lately. Do you run a hosted website on WordPress, or is your site really slow? Have you gotten hacked in the past and you just didn't know what to do? Well, if so, you need SiteGround. Now, I am a SiteGround affiliate. I'm also a customer. In fact, I switched theblurredgirl.com over to them and never looked back. In fact, I've put other people onto them for two reasons: reliability and customer service. You can try it yourself at siteground.com/go/theblurredgirl. That's siteground.com/go/theblurredgirl. Now, unlike some other hosting sites that have a really great affiliate program and seem to be really popular, many of them don't have customer service. SiteGround has great customer service. They don't talk to you like an idiot. If you can't find something, they'll help you work through it. They have a really easy control panel, and SiteGround is really the truth. You can start hosting your site today for as low as $3.95 a month. You can run a store, a blog, anything really. And they can even move your whole existing site over for you from another hosting service, and you don't have to worry about a bunch of code and stuff. So if you've been blogging or running a website for a while now, it's time to take your site and its security seriously and move up to SiteGround. Sign up today at SiteGround.com. That's SiteGround.com/TheBlurredGirl. Now, Phil LaMarr has voiced over 250 characters in cartoons and anime in his entire career. Now, I mentioned earlier that he was the voice of Jon Stewart on the Justice League, but he's done so much more than that. I also mentioned Harvey Birdman. He was the voice of Samurai Jack. Everybody kind of knows him from Futurama, though. He's also an actor and comedian, though. Remember Pulp Fiction? Remember that guy that got shot in the face in the back seat? Yep, that was him. These days, you can find Phil starring as the voice of Malefic Jones on Supergirl, and he's joining the cast of Season 2 of Voyage to the Stars. That is a scripted podcast that is, well, if you don't know the show, here's the premise. The year is 2263, and a group of lovable misfits mistakenly board an alien spacecraft and find themselves transported through a wormhole to the far side of the universe. Now, despite the universe's best efforts, they somehow survive Season 1, but we're not quite sure if they're going to make it through Season 2. Now, Phil is going to be guest starring in Season 2 and joining these. I know these are all names that you know. Felicia Day, who plays the scatterbrained scientist Elsa Rankfort. Janet Varney, who plays the misanthropic AI aptly named Sorry. I love that. Steve Berg, who is the apathetic technician Stu Merkel. And Colton Dunn as the wholly unqualified Captain Tucker Lentz. This season, Phil is going to be in good company. There's all kinds of people showing up. Paul F. Tompkins from BoJack Horseman, Angela Kinsey from The Office, Kristen Van Ness from Criminal Minds. It's going to be fun. It's basically a scripted podcast in space with improv geeks. I love it. So in this interview, we talk about the show, the huge amount of scripted content out there, his work with the Groundlings in L.A., plus the Black version, which is basically a series of videos that the comedy troupe does out there. It's absolutely hilarious. And of course, we get a few voices thrown in there, too. But this was a great conversation with a veteran of the industry that really has a unique perspective on diversity, acting, and staying true to your art. So up next, my interview with Phil LaMarr. Okay. Is everything okay in California? Because from here,
yeah,
from here, everything always seems like it's on fire.
Well, see, the thing is, especially to people on the East Coast, when you hear there's a fire in the state, you think, oh, my God, because y'all states are so damn small. This is a really big state.
That's true. That's like, I live in Bed-Stuy, and every time somebody hears there's a shooting in Brooklyn, everybody thinks I got shot, like my family members. I'm like, no, I'm okay. Really, I'm fine.
Right. Well, and it's funny, because people, you know, look at Manhattan, and Manhattan is small. Like, if there's a shooting in one part of Manhattan, it could actually hit you wherever you are. But Brooklyn's actually really big.
Yes, Manhattan could fit in Brooklyn a couple times, and people don't realize that.
Right?
And thank you for recognizing that fact.
No, because people don't think that, like, well, New York is the big thing, and Brooklyn and all these, you know, Queens, those are probably little tiny suburbs next to New York. Like, no.
No, that's not how it is at all. In fact, I still don't understand Queens, but that's a different story. I'm going to have all these people from Queens in my mentions.
Right.
So you are a legend in the game, Phil. Like so many people that so many of my listeners and some people that I'm sure that you've met grew up on your voice, are fans of your voice, and you're acting in so many shows. But it's your comedy that I think is the one thing that is one of your most gifted talents.
Oh, thanks.
I'm gonna start with what you're currently working on and then we'll go back a bit. But
okay.
You know, because I have to acknowledge, I've said it before, you were the only Green Lantern. I acknowledge. Well, N.K. Jemisin's got another one coming out, so I'm going to have to acknowledge her.
Right.
But you are, up until she drops, you were the only Green Lantern that I acknowledge. Because you're the earliest memory of that character for me. But also, Vulcan and Harvey Birdman and, of course, Samurai Jack and a whole bunch of other things. But your improv, I feel like, and your geekdom are kind of colliding in your latest jaunt in Voyage to the Stars, which is a podcast in its second season.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because it's improv, it's comedy, it's science fiction. You know, I mean, my thing, I don't really accept, like, I mean, that is sweet of you to say, like, the L word, but we can, to me, that's something you lay on somebody on their headstone. You know, I'm still carving out, I'm still doing new stuff like, mm-hmm. like this, you know, but it's great. You know, Voyage of the Stars has been great. Cause one, I'm working with friends of mine, people I know, and I really dig, and I'm doing a lot of the stuff that I've been doing over my career. You know, I started out, you know, in college doing improv comedy, you know, and I was a nerd even before that. You know, I had all my Robert A. Heinlein, you know, books on the shelf, you know, all sorts of, you know, all that stuff. You guys, your audience remembers books,
yes,
books, right?
Yes, yes.
The things,
yeah,
things
those
made
are
of
the
paper
things
that your grandma has. Yeah.
Google it, people. Google it.
right, exactly. Google book. B-U-K. I don't know. I'm not getting nothing.
And see, we're laughing, but somebody's doing that right now. I've heard actually most of season one, but I've just started a little bit of season two. And I gotta ask, what is it like working on this show? Because for me, my brain, I'm thinking it feels like Critical Role meets Star Trek. Like, it's like
with no dice.
Right, with no dice. Are you in a room with the other actors? Do you have props around you? Because it seems like there's a lot of practical effects I'm hearing.
Well, no, I think most of the effects and stuff you're hearing are put in afterwards. No, we're all in the room together. I mean, you have to be.
Yeah, for improv.
You know, because we're improvising off each other. It's funny because it's a little bit like, you know, a few years back I did an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, you have an overall story that somebody is giving you. So you're not making up everything, you know, which in science fiction would be really hard.
Yeah.
You know, because shit has to make sense. You know, I remember with Futurama, people would ask us, do you guys ever improvise, like, make up lines? Like, dude, they have an alien language. These guys all, like, have master's degrees from Harvard. We're not like spitting out these words.
Yeah.
This stuff is really well thought out, you know. But now, the jokes, the funny, the interrelationship with the characters, that's where we come in. Like, they set it up, and we come in and trip over them and get the laugh. You got everybody in the room, you know, and Janet, Felicia, Colton, you know, everybody's in there. And we've got, like, sort of a premise, a setup. Like, okay, this is what's happening. Go. Mm-hmm. And you start saying stuff, you know, and sometimes you know in your mind there's a beat you want to hit, but other times you'll just go off of what, you know, Colton will say something like, oh, okay, now I'm going to go down that road. Wait a minute, why are you wearing that hat? Or you'll say something like that they didn't even know was happening. And now now the scene becomes about the hat that somebody just made up.
Yes,
And then after the fact, they add in a lot, the effects and all of that.
For the right. Those of you who are new to the podcast that we're referring to, Voyage to the Stars, basically first season, way in the future, like 2260-something, it's basically a group of misfits that mistakenly board an alien ship, and then they accidentally go through a wormhole to the far side of the universe, and somehow they survive. But season two is about them coming or still trying to get back to Earth. So who are you playing? Because you're newer to this cast.
Oh, yes. No. I'm just a guest on a couple of episodes. I am the galactic judge. I mean, because basically it's kind of like Star Trek, but it's not Captain Kirk. It's Bill Shatner. You know, you got just like a bunch of jerks.
Yeah.
Flying through space.
That's hilarious.
You know? And like, I'm going to mess with this alien race. You know, so my character is.
Yeah, there is no prime directive in this universe at all.
Exactly. And my character basically is sort of holding them accountable for it, which is something that never happens in a real sci-fi story. You know, because we always accept that whatever the hero does is heroic.
Yeah.
And they fly on to their next, you know, like, Kirk left that green girl on her planet, whatever.
Right.
We never go back to go like, oh, she's pregnant with her half-green baby and everybody shuns her. You
know? Right. She can't get a job.
Right. Because she's been touched by an earthling.
Oh, my God.
You know?
That's also a book.
Right. So, yes, my character is like holding them accountable for all the messes they made in season one.
Got you. Well, I mean, that should be really funny because you do a very good job at that deep gravitas type voice. So I'm assuming that's what we're going to be, we're going to be hearing. Actually, speaking of deep gravitas voice, your recent turn as Martian Manhunter's brother on Supergirl.
Now,
I've been calling him Malefic for years and people are like, no, it's Malefic. And I'm like, his name is Malefic Jones? That's what you're trying to tell me. So this alien sounds like a pimp from Crenshaw, but all right.
Oh, well,
that's what you're giving me.
See, now, actually, when you think about it, it kind of makes sense that on Supergirl they made all the Martians black.
Yes. If
you look at those names, John Jones, Malefic.
Yeah.
It's like, that ain't his real name.
Right.
His real name was, you know, was Ronnie. He took on that white Martian name.
Right. So I was... But what tickled me about it was, I was like, oh, Phil's going to be on Supergirl. I'm like, wait, as a voiceover. Because I'm like,
know,
it's a live action show. It was.
Well, it's hilarious. And actually, I love it so much that now the technology has reached a place where I'm doing voiceover on live action shows. Last season, I did a couple episodes of The Flash as the voice of Ragdoll.
Yes, yes.
You know, and I was like the fourth person I know who voiced a character on Flash. My friend David Sobolov was Gorilla Grodd.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Tony Todd was Professor Zoom.
Zoom,
like, there are all these characters that are CG or masked that they're saying, hey, you know what? Let's bring in these actors, you know, who can add the voice to it. Because to me, in animation, that's what we've been doing the whole time. It's combined performance. You know, I do the vocal part. The animators do the visual part. And the writers, you know, give us the storyline. But all three of them together make the characters that everybody, like, knows and loves. no one of them by themselves is enough.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there's so many effects, there's so much post, you know, like it's basically movies on TV now.
Well, they are. And what's really interesting about it is a lot of the science fiction stuff, there's a lot of actually scripted podcasts that are so similar to the work you did on Supergirl and Flash and now with Voyage that are being done. It's really, really fascinating. It's almost like we've gone back to like old time radio show. Now, if y'all didn't know what a book was, you're definitely not going to know what a radio is. But I just mean, like, I honestly think it's never been a better time to be you, basically a comedic improv actor with an amazing vocal talent. Because, I mean, you can sound like anybody. So have you noticed that? Have you noticed a lot of these scripted podcasts coming
out? Yeah, which is really fascinating to me because, you know, like you said, in a lot of ways, it's real low tech. It's real old school. But
yeah.
Then I stop. Then I walk down the street and I see like 9 out of 10 people under the age of 40 walking around with headphones in their damn head, like 20 hours a day. Like, oh, well, they must be listening to something.
And,
yep. I mean, basically, people's ears have become what cable was in the 90s. Like, we run it for 24 hours. We need content.
Honestly, also the rise of the scripted podcast and the fiction especially is a break from the 24-hour news cycle and the social media and the just bombarded with images and violence and things like that. I think that I tell people all the time, I'm like, no, there's a reason why I love comic books and anime and animation. I need a break from y'all.
Right.
Like, I can't.
Everybody needs an escape.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And therapy, but that's a different podcast. So speaking of improv, you're also doing improv with Groundlings out there in California, which is also on fire. The black version.
Yeah.
The black version is what you're doing right now. And I got to get back out to L.A. and see it. Tell us about that show, because that sounds like is that where you basically continue to hone your craft, those live shows?
Well, I mean, mostly we do that just because we love it. It's a show created by my friend Jordan Black, who was in the Groundlings with me. And Groundlings, for anybody who doesn't know, is a sketch comedy and improv troupe in LA that actually is this year celebrating our 45th anniversary. And you know, some amazing people have come out of there. You know, Paul Rubens did Pee Wee Herman, Cassandra Peterson did Elvira, Will Ferrell, Kristen Wiig, you know, Melissa McCarthy, just like, you know, some of the greatest comedy people have come through there. But improv comedy in and of itself is a sort of what I call a suburban art form. And so for a very long time, there were very few people of color doing it. And, you know, a group of us who, you know, after so many years of being the one, we realized, oh, there's actually enough of us now for a community. And Jordan got everybody together. And at first we were doing just skits online. And you'd see, you know, we'd take like a scene from Grease and do the black version of it. Or, you know, Hannibal Lecter and Clarice Starling in Silence of the Lambs, you know. That's actually a really funny one. That if you go to theblackversion.com, you'll find that, because Octavia Spencer used to be part of the group, and it's her playing the black version of Clarice, Jordan playing the black version of Hannibal Lecter. It's like, look at you, Clarice, in them old shoes. You know?
Oh my God. But see, you don't realize how many people came out of this. And it's so funny because now that we've had Black Panther and, you know, on Beyonce's internet, it's all of a sudden people are like, oh, wait, black people do things.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, we've been here. And I know that feeling that you're talking when you look around. It's like what I call the Highlander syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Google that too, kids. Where there can be only one.
Right.
And I'm so used to that being that person. And then it's funny that like now geekdom and everything is making everybody say, yeah, no, I'm here too. Well, and I like magical girl anime or things like that.
Right, right. Well, that thing, nerddom was again, you know, not a thing for people of color, you know, for a very long time. At least that's how it was perceived. Improv was the same way. But, you know, then now with the internet, you can gather critical mass. Like, no, look, there's enough black nerds. Like, oh, damn, look at them all.
Yes.
You know, but for us, we had Jordan, and he gathered everybody together. It was me, him, Danielle Gaither, who's also from The Groundlings and from Mad TV, Cedric Yarbrough from Reno 911, Gary Anthony Williams, who's was from Soul Plane and Boston Legal. And we all got to, and actually, Keegan-Michael Key and Jordan Peele were in the group when we first started. Then apparently Comedy Central called and wanted them to do something. I don't know. I don't know what happened to those people.
Yeah, I don't know. We haven't heard much from them lately.
Right. But the show is so much fun because basically we just take, you know, we sit there in front of the audience live, take a suggestion from them of like a classic or iconic movie, something that like everybody knows about, even if you haven't seen it, you know, and then we improvise the black version of it. Like we did the black version of Silence of the Lambs. Like it was called, Why Are You Eating People?
You know what?
You know, we did the black version of Jaws. The black version of Jaws was catfish.
Oh my God.
It was a great big old giant fried catfish attacking people in the water.
And see, it's things like that and like Black Lady Sketch Show and stuff like that. That
right.
And it's so funny because it's still a play on pop culture, just like the podcast you're doing stuff. These are still plays on pop culture,
right.
But you're basically targeting parts of the genre and making them real for people.
Right.
Do you think we're in like I said, with all these things that we're doing, we got Black Lightning, we have all these other shows out right now, and I've already mentioned Black Panther. Are we seeing, do you think we're in a renaissance right now? Or, you know, has this been going on for a while and just mainstream is just starting to notice?
No, this is simply evolution. That's all it is. Because with the internet, with, you know, the web of communication that exists now, people are able to compare things better and to be exposed to more things. And now, basically, I mean, because if you go back to the analog era, and because I started in show business in the late 80s, and there was one point of view, but it was so pervasive that it was not recognized as a point of view. It was simply the way you make a TV show, the way you make a movie. That is simply what it is.
Right.
Nobody ever looked at American television and said, oh, this is all being written from a white male perspective. Until now. Because now people are exposed to so many other perspectives and can put them up next to each other. It's like, you know, and it's funny because those of us who grew up with that didn't even know it.
Right.
You know, we knew we weren't there, but that was just a story. That's what stories are. Stories don't have pictures of us in them.
Yeah.
Unless they're slave stories.
Right.
You know? But now, you know, we have, as a culture, evolved.
There are a few slave stories that are out now, too.
Well, but now they're about the slave.
That's true.
Now it's not Gone with the Wind. So it's funny, because what's his face? Tyrese was going off about slave stories. Like, yo, brother, dig deeper. Dig deeper.
Yeah.
The old slave stories were not about the slave. This is about us. And, you know, and it's funny. I mean, it was funny because he was like, they're showing us, you know, being oppressed. Like, and then you in a movie about cops shooting black people? What's the difference?
As a gangster, I know. He was trying. He was reaching. But you know what? That reminds me of something you said. I don't remember where you said it, but I know you've been quoted as saying, when it comes to some of these roles that people consider stereotypical, you said, if you're a good actor, you'll never play a stereotype. I believe that's the way you phrased it.
Right. How
do you pick the right roles? Is it about picking the right roles, or is it about honing your craft? Like, how does the average actor get to that point? Because there's so many people who say that, like, oh, you don't want to do that because that's a stereotype. But then you also want to work, and you also want to expand. So what do you do?
Well, because we just had as part of the Groundlings anniversary, we had a diversity panel, and that was a real question that came up. And it was interesting because the people who started post-internet had a very different take on it than those of us who started pre. Because for those of us who started pre, it was about survival. You know, those were the only roles. And it's funny, because this is something I point to when people talk about there hasn't been any progress. I'm like, yo, when I started out, I was going up for gang member parts.
Right.
That's how little diversity there was. And I got them. Now, yeah. And it's funny because when I say that in a panel or something, it gets a laugh. Because people go, what? No, who would ever believe you as a gang member? It's like, because those were the only images of black men that were out there. And it's like, he's darker than a paper bag. He looks like a gang member to me. And that was the right. perspective that was being presented. But, you know, now these younger, you know, improvisers were, you know, but they're still, you know, people of color in a predominantly white environment. So they're worried about, oh, gosh, what am I going to put out there if I play a pimp or whatever? And, you know, for the rest of us, it was like, well, now you have the choice. You can play a pimp or a doctor. That didn't used to be a choice, you know. And my thing is,
depending on the
funny,
show, you might be able to do both.
Right, right. And my thing is, if it's funny or it's a character that matters to you or that you actually have, like I said, something you can play well that is not a stereotype, it should be on the table as much as anything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially in improv where you are creating it. It's another thing if somebody wants you to play something and they, you know, as writers, obviously are fetishizing or haven't grounded
yes.
it. That's a different thing. You know,
right.
We want you to play, you know, come in with a slice of watermelon. It's like, yeah, no.
Yeah, and that also speaks to trying to have more people of color in the writers' rooms and more, you know,
right.
women in the writers' rooms and stuff. And that's, you know, because I think we're seeing also some groundbreaking things happening even in the geek space. I've been yelling about Watchmen for over a week. I mean, there's a bunch of people that didn't think the Tulsa riots ever happened. They thought it was fake. And it was like, no, that is a thing that happened. I love it when there's
right.
writing there that could also make us have conversations.
Well, see, it's funny because to me, Watchmen exemplifies something that I've been saying for years, that the battle for diversity mm-hmm. is not just about race. It is not just about fairness. It's about excellence.
Right.
You can't have as many great stories if you are taking, you know, whatever percentage of them and ignoring them.
Yeah.
You know, if you're just, like I was saying before, if you're just telling the stories from the, you know, dominant perspective, you're losing a whole bunch of, and to me, this is a perfect example because you got Watchmen, which somebody tried to duplicate the old perspective in a new world, and it was like, heh. You know, it's like, okay, this is obviously a powerful story, the story of Watchmen, that comic, like,
yes.
rocked my world. It's in my great comics long box. But how,
yeah,
do, you,
no, I call
how
it the,
do you tell...
I call it the Catcher in the Rye of comics.
Right, but how do you tell that story now? And to me, somebody mm-hmm. solved that puzzle by opening it up. It's like, let's give it a black female lead. Let's look at it from this other perspective. And it's like, see, now you have made it better.
Right.
By making it more diverse.
No, absolutely. And I know you don't have a lot of time to read all the comics, but what are some comics that you, they don't have to be recent ones, but what are some comics that you absolutely love?
Okay, my Old Testament is Elektra Assassin.
Ooh.
Frank Miller and Bill Sienkiewicz.
Yes.
Because the work they did on that, in taking what at the time was a relatively minor character, you know, and blowing up like social satire, political, and just what they did in moving the needle in the visual realm of the medium mm-hmm. was astonishing. It was like a fever dream, you know, but it was also funny. It was great action, everything. American Flag, Howard Chaykin's sci-fi dystopia series from the 80s.
Oh, wow.
Which, like, was so great. It was funny. It was dirty. And it, like, you know, it, he knew stuff that was going to happen 30 years before. He called deep fakes.
Oh,
back
wow.
in 80, what was it? 85. Because his main character is an actor on a cop show. You know, mm-hmm. and he gets fired because the producers, you know, we shot enough episodes. We have all the footage we need. We're just going to reuse those episodes for the rest of the series.
Yep.
So we don't need you we've already got your performance captured. So he has to go and get a job as an actual cop in the series. And it is so amazing. And also, like, in terms of, because I guess the Earth at that point in his future, basically all the rich people have fled to Mars.
Which is basically ironic.
Like the ghetto.
Wow.
Right?
And that's like Expanse now.
So, yes.
That's like a lot of the science fiction we have now. You're absolutely right. Also, I mean, if we're listening to Elon Musk, that's what's about to happen.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Why do you think they're doing all these space shuttles? And why is it always rich guys? It's not the government doing space shuttles. No, it's rich guys because they want to get the hell away from the rest of us.
Right. They're leaving. They're out.
It's like, let's go to Mars. And then, well, before I go, let me start my Soylent Green factory up.
Now,
Google that.
Something else. Oh, I know. I was going to say, Google Soylent, kids. Okay. Well, actually, no. You know what's going to happen? All the people who watch Supernatural are going to think we're talking about that show. Ugh. Anyway, so so what does it feel like being in this age where you had, you could see Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse on screen, you know, with Miles Morales, or the fact that we're getting a Mandalorian TV show?
Right.
I never thought I'd be able to see Stormtroopers Weekly.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing because...
Isn't it amazing?
It's technology. I mean, that's the biggest thing because, I mean, I remember, I mean, I'm a comic book guy from way, way back. And our stories, those comic stories could never be told because anything you put on screen wasn't even a fraction of what was on the page. But now they have the technology where they can make the stuff. I mean, and it's kind of crazy because before it was like, this is the fiery imagination of a nerd, you know, mixed with a pen and colored ink. Boom! You know, but now they can do it on a screen, you know, and that's amazing.
Yeah.
Plus also the fact that there are so many avenues out there. It's not just three channels, you know, and you don't have to make something for an audience of 40 million every time out. You know, so now you can tell more nuanced, more, you know, special, unique kinds of stories. And that I love, you know, as an actor trying to make a living, you know, I definitely miss the old days when, you know, there was 26 episodes of According to Jim. Now it's like, you know, it's like, well, you get 8 episodes of The Boys. Like,
yeah, right. Seasons. And then there was
eight checks on something great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it's going to get crazier because we're about to get, 156 streaming channels of things? I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for actors, but I don't know how many of these shows are going to be able to be sustainable because there's going to be so much.
I mean, from our standpoint, a lot of it, what's a bummer sometimes is you'll do something fantastic and no one will be able to find it.
Yeah.
You know, I worked on a show called Get Shorty, mm-hmm. which was a phenomenal adaptation of the book. They basically just took the premise and told a whole new story, and it was fantastic. And again, it's one of these, to me, it's a case of diversity, not a political thing, but just a storytelling. Like, the big bad guy
mm-hmm.
was a 50-something Latino woman, you know, heavyset, and she is the godfather. She
yeah.
is, everybody is scared of her, and you totally buy it. Like, this whole series, that kind of amazing sort of non-traditional casting just elevated the whole story so much. Nobody I know ever saw it. It was on a channel called Epics.
Right.
You know, and it wasn't until they released one season on Netflix, like 3 years later, I had people call me, oh my God, you were so good on that show. I was like, I did that 3 years ago.
Exactly. So last few questions. These are
right.
little quick rapid fire things.
Mm-hmm.
What superpower would you have if you could have one?
Shapeshifting.
Oh, wow.
That way I could do all my voice acting on camera too.
That's actually amazing.
See, I'm just trying to
That's
get paid.
You're just trying to stay working and I'm not mad
right,
at you.
Ahead.
Which would you rather have? The powers of time travel or the power of telepathy?
Telepathy.
Oh,
easy.
Why? So you can stay working?
Because to me, time travel is overrated. You know, if I could actually read other people's minds and understand it, you know, that, because one, I mean, think about that. If you could actually do that, if you actually had telepathy, you'd know every language.
That's true.
You know, and in terms of like you'd know what people are doing before they did it. So that's like time. That's the good part of time travel anyway, is I'm going to go in the past and bet on the World Series, you know, that kind of nonsense. But if I could, you know, be in the stands and I could read the pitcher's mind, like, oh, his arm's sore. I'm going to go lay my bet on the other dude, you know. No, telepathy is the thing.
I love how it wasn't world peace. I love how it was like, oh, I'm going to bet on this other guy.
I'm a realist. I'm a realist. Because the problem with using telepathy for world peace, I mean, yeah, I could figure out where Hitler is, but you got to go and get to these people, you know. Unless you've got it. Ooh,
that's true.
Unless I build my Cerebro.
There you go. You can be now. See, that's what you got to do on the show. The Black Professor X. We need that.
Right.
Next week's show, ladies and gentlemen.
It's Cerebro. Well, it's still called the same thing, though, isn't it?
Cerebro. Yes. Yes.
Right.
And instead of X-Men, it's like X-Folks. Anyway.
I want somebody to do that Elseworlds or mm-hmm, what if, mm-hmm. where we find out that this whole time Professor X was passing.
Oh, God.
That he didn't actually lose his hair. He just kept his head shaved so nobody would see the curls.
That's hilarious. Oh, my God. So basically, Professor X is Wentworth Miller. Okay, I got it.
Right, exactly.
I got it. That's great. Okay, so if you could take one thing, this is sort of the concept of like take one thing to an island, but I don't trust, I'm from an island and I know what can happen during hurricane season. So take one thing to another planet. Take one thing to another planet. Now, and you have oxygen. Oxygen is available to you on whatever planet this is. If you could take one thing with you to the other planet, what would it be? You have oxygen and you have water. You don't have to worry about those.
Yeah, I think it'll just have to be pictures of my kids.
Oh.
Like all of the pictures of my kids on a hard drive or like, actually, it's funny because when you said that, what I pictured was an old iPod. The one with the screen, but basically just like a little hard drive.
Oh, my God.
Because off on that planet, I would finally have time to put all those damn pictures in order.
Oh, my God. Yes, you have plenty of time. Okay, so my last funny question is, who is more fun for you to play? Funky Walker, Dirty Talker from Mad TV or Jon Stewart?
That's a tough one because, you know, Desperation Lee got to get down with Miss Halle Berry. But Jon Stewart was in a love triangle with Hawk Girl, played by Maria Canals, and Vixen, played by Gina Torres. So I guess I have to go with the numbers on this one. Jon Stewart, because he had two fine ladies by his side.
And that's just Halle Berry sashaying into your scene a couple times.
Yeah,
that was actually
really
hilarious. Thank you so much. If you could leave us with one piece of advice for anybody out there that's trying to do what you do, and it doesn't have to be one word, but just one piece of advice, what piece of advice would you give them?
Let's see. The main advice is if there's a creative thing that you want to do, it's not about being famous at it. It's find a way to do it. Do it with friends. Do it, you know, a radio station, whatever. Just that should be your main focus. Is like, how can I write or act or broadcast today? You know, too many people are trying to like, how am I going to get rich? How am I going to get famous? What do people like? No. What do you have to say and how can you say it today?
Thank you so much. That's powerful. And that's actually something that we need because I think a lot of people have analysis paralysis and they're sitting on their creativity and they need to just let that out.
Right.
Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it. And we are all going to have to go listen to Voyage to the Stars,
yes. The
second season, so that we can hear you. And if we're in L.A., we can go catch a show, right? We can actually come out to see the Black version?
Yes, you have to come. We do it once a month at the Groundlings Theater, and you can find out when it's playing and get tickets at theblackversion.com.
Awesome. Is there anything else that you've got coming out that we need to be making sure that we listen to, watch, see, hear, do?
Let's see. Got a couple of appearances. The Great Allentown Comic Con. And then Planet Comic Con in KC next year. But also, got a few more episodes of Supergirl coming up. And there's some interesting stuff happening there. Some really good stuff coming. And also, got new, more episodes of Craig of the Creek on Cartoon Network and Tyler, the Creator's Jellies on Adult Swim, which is it's basically like the Black Rick
hilarious.
And Morty. It is so out there.
It is trippy.
So trippy.
Well, thank you again for joining us and blessing us with your amazing voice. And I know you don't think you're a legend yet, but I do, and I'm going to keep saying it. So there. Thank you again. Phil is awesome. Now, if you're in LA, you must catch his show and tell me how it is. Also, tune into Supergirl. And of course, check out Voyage to the Stars Season 2, airing now on your favorite podcatcher. Now, I'm pretty much done traveling for the year, but I have a ton of footage to show you and podcasts to get out. So thanks for listening. Don't forget to follow me on social media. I'm the Blurred Girl everywhere. And comment, subscribe, tell your friends about this podcast. And I promise I will post more often. I promise. Thanks, everybody. See you on the internet.